And the paragraph begins, Al tadinas chaver chad shetagiyah l'makom. Talking about how you can never fully understand anyone else's circumstances. You don't have the whole picture, you only have your little slice of the story. And therefore, don't be haughty, and don't be jealous, and just be the best you that you can be. Okay, so he quotes a beautiful teaching from Rav Meir Permishlaner. We're on page Samach Beis, right by the bolded title of the new paragraph. And he quotes a very beautiful teaching from Rav Meir of Premishlan. Got that, Elliot? Meir of Premishlan? Not Parmesan, Premishlan. Premishlan. It's on the page in front of you, you can see it. Premishlan, Rav Meir of Premishlaner. Rav Yaakov Meir Shachter likes this. He quotes it in several of his Sfarim. But it's a beautiful teaching. There's a very, very strange Gemara in Meseches Tanis, on Daf Chof and Daf Chof Aleph, where the Gemara tells the following story. Maisa Shaba Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon. Who's Rabbi Lazar ben Rabbi Shimon? Rishon Bar Yochai. Rishon Bar Yochai's son. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, came mi Migdal Gadur mi Beis Rabo. Vaya Rachuv al Chamor. He was coming back from learning. He'd been in yeshiva. He was riding on a donkey. V'samach simcha gedola. I'll just say, because it'll fit with the way that he's going to explain it based on Rav Meir from Ishlam, that riding on a donkey always brings to mind two types of images. Riding on a donkey could be Mashiach. One image of Mashiach is riding on a donkey. The other way to understand riding on a donkey is the chamor. Maharal explains in many places the chamor, the donkey is called the chamor milashon chomer. Chomer means physicality. Unrefined physicality. Chumrius. So therefore, riding on a donkey means I'm in control of my chumrius. Riding on a donkey is very Mashiach-vik. So we're talking about a very religious person here. Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rishon Bar Yochai, coming back from yeshiva. He's in control of his chumrius. He's riding his donkey. V'samach simcha gedola. Mamish rejoicing with all the Torah that he learned. That's where it's coming from. It's the name of a place. Chumrius means physicality. Raw physicality. Chomer. Chomer means raw material. Once you shape it into something, if I take the wood and I make it into a desk, then it has a tzura. Then it's at least material that's been, it's physical material, but it's been formed into something. Chomer just means, raw physicality. So anyway, so Rabbi Lazar, the son of Rishon Bar Yochai, he's in a very festive mood, he's riding on his donkey, and he learned a lot of Torah, Mnei Shalama Torah Harbe. He's feeling very good about himself. Nizdamin lo adam echad chayim mechuar biyoser. And he encountered a person who was mechuar biyoser, was very ugly, exceedingly ugly. Amar kama mechuar oso aish. How ugly is this person? He says out loud, I've never seen such an ugly person before. Amar lo, leich ve'amor le'uman sha'asani, kama mechuar kli ze sha'asisa. So he says, why don't you go and tell the craftsman who crafted me, meaning go tell God, that you think he made an ugly clay. Right? Go tell the one who made me, kama mechuar kli ze sha'asisa. How ugly is this vessel that you fashioned? Wow. Kevin shiyad ba'asav shachata. So Rabbi Lazar realized he spoke in a way that was hurtful. Yarad min ha'chamor, he got off of his donkey, v'nishtatach lafanav, and he fell to the ground before him, for this ugly individual, bowed before him, v'amar na'anesi lacha. Right, what does that mean? Dibarti l'molech shalo karoi macholi. I spoke too quickly. I spoke in a haughty way. He came down from the donkey. He brought himself down to the person's level. And he says, I'm begging you to forgive me. Amar lo, eini mocha lacha. And he said back to him, I can't forgive him. Ayin sham. Shalo mocha lo. Asho chicho barabim lefnei kol b'nei iro. And he didn't allow him to be forgiven until he first brought him to all the other townspeople, and told everyone what happened, and rebuked Rabbi Lazar in front of them, publicly giving him Musar, and then he forgave him. The question is, what on earth is going on with this Gemara? That Rabbi Lazar would comment on the physical appearance of this individual, and he would say it out loud, after learning in yeshiva for so long. The Pashup Shot is, it's hard to say about someone like Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Right? But the Pashup Shot is, a person can go to yeshiva for a long time, and he can come back, and he can see the first words that come out of his mouth. He's gaivadik, and is putting other people down. Right? I mean, lav dafka, a person who goes to yeshiva, all of a sudden has corrected his midos. But again, that's still hard to say about Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. There must be something more pnimi going on here. El shesod ha-davar hu, sha'ish hazeh haya oved Hashem. He wasn't commenting on his physical appearance. It's very strange. Oh, sorry, I skipped a line. Ulechore tmua ma'od. Shrab Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Yasim Lev, Lechior Gufani. That he would comment on his physical appearance, or his repulsive physical appearance. Mikol Shechen Shiochicho Zeh, and all the more so. What, as if Rabbi Elazar didn't know that he wasn't responsible for the way that he looked? We don't choose what we look like. None of us got to select it from a magazine before we started, right? I want these eyes and this hair. We didn't select it out of a catalog. El Shesora Davarhu. Sha'ish Azeh Haya Oved Hashem. This individual, he saw him serving Hashem. He was an Oved Hashem. He was a person who was trying to get close to Hashem. And he saw that the way he served Hashem was ugly. What does that mean? V'chol pu'ula shalo b'torah uv'tfila u'mitzvah saseh b'livoy tenuos v'hatayos mishunos b'gufa uv'rosha. And he saw that when he would daven, when he would learn, when he would serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it was always accompanied by, right? You see the word Levi there? Accompanied by. B'livoy tenuos. Tenuos means what? It was accompanied by all sorts of movements. V'hatayos mishunos. And he would do all sorts of strange motions with his body. B'gufa uv'rosho. Like a person who's davening Shmona Esrei, and has a thought that pops into their head that they don't want there during Shmona Esrei. And you see a person like shaking their head, trying to like, you know, trying to really like reel it in, you know, to get control of their machshavos. You see a person who's chuckling to try when they're learning, right? To try to keep their body engaged, so that their mind will be able to process the Torah that they're learning. The tzaddikim, Rabbi Yashar, no? Didn't Rabbi Yashar hold something in his hand when he would learn? What is that? Who did I hear this from? I think Rabbi Yashar had something in his hand that he would like play with when he would learn. A fidget spinner. No, I think I'm pretty sure I read that. And that way to distract his body so that his neshama and his mind can engage in Torah. Right? So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who didn't feel enslaved to his body, he didn't have to do strange tenuos and shake his body and his head to try to get connected and to get focused. And he saw this Jew shuckling wildly during davening, trying just to be able to have a little bit of kavana. And he said, what a weirdo. What an ugly way to daven. What an ugly way to learn Torah. Ukashara Rabbi Elazar, Haisa Hisnaguso Kasha Beit Amod. He saw he had such strange practices, such unusual ways of serving Hashem. Lachin Amar Alav Kama Mukhuar Hu Oso Ish. So he said, how strange, how ugly is the way that you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Klomar, Shavodas Hashem Tzricha Lios Bederach Nimus. Avodas Hashem requires a certain etiquette. There's a certain way that you approach the king. Right? You don't walk before a king of flesh and blood and start doing these weird shuckling motions in his face. You stand there at attention. And you're in control. B'tif eres v'hod, ka'omid lefnei ha'melech, v'lo k'mishtata, not like a crazy person. He says, you look nuts. That's how you talk to God? It looks crazy. Sh'ofan anhagas ha'ish ha'hu, michu eres ha'isa. And he said, he was giving him musa because this is crazy. You can't serve Hashem like that. That's a very ugly way to serve Hashem. It's not a way a person stands before the melech. Maybe all the people of your town where you come from, they're just like you, they're as ugly as you. Again, what was he saying? Again, according to this more pnimius pshat of Rameir from Ashlan. He says, is your whole town daven like this? Is this the education that all of you have been given? I've never seen anything like this. She'ena derach tova v'ruya. This is not proper. We need to come to your town and teach people how to daven right. So what does he say back to him? He says back to him, what do you want from me? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make me the son of Rishon Bar Yochai. I wasn't born to a father like Rishon Bar Yochai. We would say, if Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon looked at our generation, and he would say such strange Jews, such weird Jews, such unusual ways of serving Hashem, right? We would say, what do you want from us? We were born in the Ikhvus of the Mashiach. You were born at a time of Tanayim. You were born in the world of your father, Rishon Bar Yochai, and his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Right? We never saw those things. We never had that opportunity. Klomar, ha'im is bonanta me'ayin basri me'ayin makori. Have you thought about where I come from? He says back to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, don't you realize that we're not the same? And that's why Rabbi Yaakov Yashchev is bringing this piece. Because we've been learning about, again, embracing one's individuality with confidence. And not to be, God forbid, jealous or envious of anyone else. Ata makorcha na levinitzkov. You come, your makor, your starting point, your shoresh. It's na levinitzkov. It's from a very holy and lofty place. Kire b'no shel Rashbiata. You're the son of Rishon Bar Yochai. The home that you grew up in is different than the home that I grew up in. V'ata kadosh, so therefore you're holy. You're mekorcha kadosh. You come from a holy place. V'ata mesuvav ach v'rach v'kedushat ilah. You spent 13 years in a cave learning b'chavrusa with your father. That's a pretty good start. V'ilu ani basim ish pashut megusham. And who do I come from? My father is a simple tailor. My father is a simple baker. My father is a simple yid. Uvachol eis shani bal iskari v'lageshas el hakodesh. Turn the page. La Torah ulatfila ulasias mitzvos. And therefore, whenever I try to overcome my physicality, being born to very simple parents, not being raised in a home of such clear kedusha like you are, so when I come to approach Torah or tefillah or mitzvos, misorim alai chevli rishon. So I feel chained down. I feel held back. I have so many hurdles to climb in order to get anywhere. Bilbulim shel taivos. My body, because of the way I was produced, like the Tanya says, it's very critical that the parents, when they're producing a child, have good kavanos, that they should be able to have kavana, that they're not for their own pleasure, but it should be to bring a Jewish neshama down to this world. It's very, very important. It really affects the soul of the child. So he says, I come from simple parents, and therefore I'm filled with all sorts of taivos. V'kushios, v'kfiros, v'atzvos, v'chalishos das shonim. I have all sorts of questions on God. I was raised in schools where they taught me kfira, right? There's a certain sadness about my existence that you don't have. Your mom is bouncing off the wall. Some, right? Gemara said, Samach simcha gedola, you're on the way back from yeshiva. I didn't even get Shana Aleph, and you spent 13 years learning b'chavrus with your father in a cave. So of course, I have all sorts of problems. Taivos, kashas, kfira, sadness, chalishos adas, lack of confidence. I wasn't raised in an environment where I should think that I can make it. V'asitra achra misgabera salai v'savuni kedvorim. And I'm surrounded on all sides, right, by the sitra achra, like bees trying to sting me. I stepped into the nest of a bee. U'va'orech zu aleich tamnu pachli. And every step that I take, there's traps that are waiting for me, that are lying in wait for me. V'lamu lo isbonanta. So he says to Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, why didn't you think about that? V'lamu lo isbonanta kama kavir alai v'kosha kol davar shebekedusha v'pnei hamayim hazeidonim hashotim osi mikol ivarai. Why didn't you stop to think about how heavy it is for me and how difficult it is for me that any time I try to approach a davar shebekedusha, right, the mayim hazeidonim, again, he's speaking poetically, but the destructive waters, water always alludes to taiva. You water a plant and it causes it to grow. Yeah, a husband's mashpia has zera to his wife and a child begins to grow inside of her. Mayim zeidona means bad waters, destructive waters. It means taivas. Hashot, that I'm being washed away on all sides. Do you know how hard it is for me to push ahead in kedusha? Kedesha tedinani l'chesed l'zuchus. You should have said, wow, it's amazing that you even care to try. That's unbelievable. You have so many things stacked against you. So all you see is what? That I don't know how to daven like you, I don't know how to learn like you. You never stop to think. He said, Rabbi Elazar, you're so used to being in your father's world, you don't appreciate the struggles that I'm going through. And now he reveals to us what Tosfos tells us on that Gemara. In Pnimius, who was this ugly person who presented himself to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon? It was Eliyahu Navi in disguise. That he enveloped himself in the guise of this individual. Toso says was Eliyahu Anavi coming to teach Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon a lesson. I'll just mention in parentheses something that I once heard from the Berditcher. I mean, I didn't hear it from him. I heard B'Shem the Berditcher, although I never saw it in the Kedusha Levi. Could be it's in somewhere in the back of some of the Likutim sections, or it could be it's quoted elsewhere in his name. The Berditchever explained, why is Eliyahu HaNavi the one who comes to answer all the questions? Right, we know that when you get to a teiku in the Gemara, an unanswerable question in the sugya, teiku, which literally means let it stand, right, it will not be resolved. But the Tosfos Yom Tov says that teiku stands for, as Rashi Tevos, Tishbi, Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. So Tishbi Yitaretz will answer up, Kushios V'Abayos. That's what teiku stands for. Tishbi, Yitaretz, Kushios, questions, right? V'abayos, and abaya means a halachic question. So Eliyahu is the one who's going to answer up all the questions. And the Berditcher said that doesn't just mean that Eliyahu is going to answer up the questions with regard to, the sugi and the gemara that ends on a teiku. Eliyahu is going to answer all the unresolved questions of our life. And the Berditchever said, why is Eliyahu the one to answer the questions at the end of time? So the Berditchever said, it's an interesting parsha, the whole Indian of Eliyahu. Eliyahu was a Navi, a person, and then maybe became somewhat more like a Malach. It's unclear exactly how that works, right? But we think of Eliyahu as some type of angelic being. So Eliyahu, because he is beyond time, and because Eliyahu has been around, right? He never died, like the Navi says, Eliyahu never died. So because Eliyahu is the one who has the full picture, so he can answer the questions. You hear? Remember what we learned last time? I told you the mashal from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim says in Parshas Kisisa, he's going to give that, he's going to bring this mashal in a minute, about the guy who goes to shul. Right? He goes to shul, and the gabbai is giving out aliyahs, and he says, what are you doing? You don't have the whole picture. Eliyahu and Navi can answer questions, because Eliyahu, being beyond time, can understand the bigger picture. So Eliyahu came to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and said, listen, Rabbi Lazar, you got to get out of your little box. You're living in a world of unbelievable Kedusha, and that's Gevaldik. But you need to know that there are going to be Jews in the future who are not like that. And you need to learn that their avodah is also chashuv in the eyes of Hashem. And they're doing the best that they can. And maybe that's even more impressive given the odds that are stacked against them. So Eliyahu Navi came, says Tosfos, Leheyer Lifkoach has Ein Avu Lamdo Ba. Eliyahu came to teach him a very important lesson. V'lo'od Ela Shalom Machlo Atcher Pirsumu Berabim. And he wouldn't forgive him until what? Until he taught this lesson publicly. She'alimud ledoros. Right? That it should be something that's not an individual lesson. It should be a lesson to recognize that there are going to be generations in the future which are on a very low level, but they're trying their best. And therefore, ledunas kol ha'adam l'kaf slos, you have to try to judge every person favorably. Va'al tadin es chavercha, and don't judge someone, atcher tegia l'mekomo, until you reach his place. If you only have your little slice of history, you don't know the struggles of a different door. Of a different generation. Dor holech v'dor ba, like it says in Kohelis. One generation leaves, the next generation comes. It's a whole new world. It's a totally different world. Okay, so ad kan, the words of Rav Meir Premishla. Okay, now in the next paragraph, again, he tells that mashal that I again mentioned from the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim on Torah Parshas Kisisa, on the Pasuk, Hodeni na esterachecha. When Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teach me your ways. So the Chafetz Chaim says, you can't understand Hashem's ways because again, you don't see the full picture. So over here, he tells the mashal. I'll just say it outside again. He says, imagine a person who's not familiar, he tells it, a chiloni, who doesn't usually come to shul, comes to some Haredi community, and he comes to shul on Shabbos for the first time. And he sees how the gabbai is giving out aliyahs, and aliyah here, and aliyah there, and this one over here. So he says, the gabbai does a lot of things very misudar, but when it comes to giving out the aliyahs, it seems very haphazard. So it seems like there's no order to things. I have a better way to do it. So his guest, his host, says to his guest, you don't know anything about this shul. This is the first time you ever came to shul. Don't you realize that this one has a yard site, and this one has a simcha, and this one this, and next week there's going to be a chasan. The gabbai knows exactly what he's doing. He's got the big picture. He's seen what happens week in and week out. And therefore, who are you to judge? Again, just by looking at your little slice of the picture. Okay, let's turn the page. Because again, I need to read the mashal inside. V'chein hadavar b'seder hanhagas habriya. Top of page, Samach Dal. And the same thing is true with the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Yeah, I just skipped the page. Because I just told you the mashal. And I already told it to you last week from the Chavetz Chaim. So I'm going to skip it for the sake of time and teach you a little perm Torah today instead. Okay? And the same thing is true with the way that Hashem runs the world. You're not the gabbai. You're showing up in shul for the first time. You don't know what happened last week. You don't know what the gabbai has planned for weeks ahead, based on who's getting married and who's making a bar mitzvah, etc., etc. So therefore, Ketzad Yecholam Anu, Shenenu Kan Rak Ko'orchim Arayim, Shenatu Lalun. So who are we that we come to this place? Like guests, right? Like casual guests. Orchim arai. Like a diras arai? Arai means casual, right? Like a casual guest, shenatu lalun, that we're just spending the night. We're sleeping over. We're passing through. So therefore, eichanu rotzim lahavin raze olam, v'ta'alu mosav shalo niglu el letamim deyim Hashem. And therefore, how could we as regular people expect to know the secrets of the universe, which are only revealed to what? To tamim deyim Hashem, to the greatest tzaddikim. Again, you go to tzaddik to get the bigger picture. Because the tzaddik is a little bit above time. He's able to see, using the language of the Gemara in Chagiga, misofa olam vad sofa. He can see from one end of the world to the other. Adam HaRishon, the Gemara says, also was able to see from one end of the world to the other. But Adam HaRishon is the all-encompassing man. That means Adam had within him all the generations, and he understood them. He could feel them within himself. But we're only one little piece of Adam HaRishon. Right? We're the heel of Adam HaRishon. We're the feet of Adam HaRishon. We're the end of time. The last final steps. So we don't understand the big picture. Hayotze Mikol HaAmor. So what do we learn from everything, again, that we've been studying for many days in this piece? Hayotze Mikol HaAmor. What emerges from all of this is as follows. She'ein shumakum lekina v'tzaras ayin mehazulas b'shum panim v'ofen. We learned in a more esoteric, based on Gilgulim, we don't understand anything. Right? More b'derach ha'pshat, we just have to understand that there are different people with different strengths and different generations with different challenges. We don't understand anything. So to be jealous of someone else, to have a stingy eye or a negative outlook on someone else, it doesn't make any sense. Ki tzadik Hashem v'chol derachav v'chasid v'chol ma'asav. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzaddik in all of his ways, and he's a chassid in all of his actions. V'akol b'cheshbon yavol lefanav. And everything is precisely calculated before. Chavetz Chaim, I think I told you this once, but the Chavetz Chaim said, imagine a person who walks in a little bit late to Mincha. And he misses, right, part of the pasuk, but he hears the other part of the pasuk. They're saying Ashrei. So what does he hear? Remember which pasuk it was? He misses the word Shomer. So what does he hear? Misses the first. Eskola Avav, Eskola Resham Yashmid. Imagine, he misses the word Shomer. He walks into the middle of Ashrei, and all he hears someone say, Eskola Avav, Eskola Resham Yashmid. The ones who Hashem loves, and the Resham, Hashem destroys. So you say, I understand why Hashem destroys the ones who are Resham. Why does Hashem destroy the ones that he loves? I don't understand. Pasuk doesn't make any sense. Imagine a person walks out a little bit early. Yeah? Shomer Hashem, Eskola Avav, Veskola Hashem. He misses the last word of the pasuk. He doesn't hear Yashmin. So he says, I understand why God protects Avav. I understand why God protects the ones he loves. Why does he also protect the Rishayim? So Chavetz Chaim said again, you don't have the whole picture. If you don't have the whole pasuk, if you don't have the whole story, you don't understand. So therefore, Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo Ke'al Emunava in Avav, like the pasuk says, Tzadik V'yashar Hu. Paraphrasing the pasuk towards the very end of the Torah, Hatzur and Parshas Hazinu, Hatzur Tamim Paalo, Ki Kol Derachav Mishpat, Ke'al Emuna, Ve'in Avel Tzadik V'Yashar Hu. Hashem is precise. Hashem is calculated. Hashem is honest. Hashem is trustworthy. He's the Tzur. He's the rock of our strength. Va'Ashrei Mi Sha'amlo B'Torah Hu Mekayim Mitzvos of Hakadoshos, and therefore praiseworthy is the one who tries to learn Torah, tries to do mitzvos, Va'Osei B'Tilos V'Tishbachos Hashem Yisparach. And he davens, however it works for him. And then he fixes his experience. He's able to sweeten and correct whatever his particular avod is. And he concludes with the Pashuk and Mishlei, one who walks, what does betom mean? Tmimus. One who walks with innocence, with purity, with simplicity, yelech betach. Walks with certainty. Don't make cheshbonos for anyone else. Don't even make cheshbonos for yourself. Just do the best you can. Try to learn. Try to daven. Try to do mitzvos. Don't feel overwhelmed by people who are smarter than you or more advanced in their learning than you. Right? Don't feel haughty and look down upon someone who's not yet on your level. And just do the best you can with honesty, sincerity, simplicity, and then yelech betach. And then you'll walk in a guaranteed way that you'll be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want to end just by telling you an amazing story about the Panovich Rav. Yeah. Yeah, sure. Let's look at it inside. He says the last line of the piece. He says, we'll go from three lines from the end. If a person does the best he can to learn and to daven and to just serve Hashem, al yedezeh umetakein umamtik, he corrects and he sweetens. Sweetens means he puts a positive spin. As kol masha over a love, everything that happens to him, all that occurs to him, she is hapich alav hakol letova ulavracha, that everything should be transformed for the good. He doesn't see the fact that his friend is smarter than him or is, you know, finds a shidduch more easily than him or gets a job faster than him. He doesn't feel bothered by all that. He sees everything that he has as a source of bracha, sason and simcha. And again, he concludes with the pasuk, v'holech betom, one who walks with innocence, with sincerity, with simplicity, yelech betach, walks with certainty. If you just stick to yourself, again, not that God forbid we don't learn from others, not that we don't care about others, but if I just focus on my avoda, and I celebrate my friend's success, and I don't feel threatened by it, like we said the other week from Simcha Buna Pershischa, because even if I traded places with Avram Avinu, there's still one Avram, there's still one Simcha Buna. So just do the best you can to serve a Kaddish Baruch. So I'll just tell you a beautiful little story. The Panovich Rav.
What's what?
The
aim
of all what's Avel? Evil. Yeah. The Panovich Rav, after the war, was trying to rebuild Yiddishkeit. And he had very big hopes and aspirations to build the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak, which he did. What'd you say? Of Kahaneman.
Of Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman? Shlomo Yosef? I always get confused. Of
Yosef Shlomo? Shlomo Yosef? I don't know. Shlomo Yosef? Shlomo Yosef? I think that sounds good. Of Shlomo Yosef Kahaneman. So of Kahaneman was known as the Panovich Rav. He wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva Panovich, but he was the architect in many ways behind the building of Panovich Yeshiva. After the war, there were many people who were broken Jews, lost their family members, etc., etc. And the Panovich Rav, in addition to building the yeshiva, built an orphanage to provide for those people who unfortunately no longer had parents. And he looked to try to find ways to help people who weren't going to be learning in the yeshiva to have jobs in the yeshiva. So this one would be a plumber, and this one would be a carpenter, and this one would be an electrician, and everyone had a job to try to help in some way to get the yeshiva going. There was this yid, his name was Rav Moshe Vatrik, V-A-T-R-I-K, and this Rav Moshe Vatrik was the carpenter for the yeshiva. What did that mean? That means he was in charge of fixing the shtenders, fixing the chairs, fixing the benches, the tables. So says Rav Moshe one time, it was a boiling hot day, boiling hot Eretz Yisrael day, and he comes into the Beis Medrash, and he sees the Panovich Rav there. And you can see this yid has been, it's been a long road for him, his whole life, schlepping along, and now he's fixing tables, he's been fixing these tables in Panovich for years. He's an older Jew at this point. And the Panovich Rav turns to him, and he says, look at what a schus we have. He says, we spent the last 30 years, we, right? This yid who's fixing shtenders, and the Panovich Rav, with mamish building the whole yeshiva and fundraising around the world and bringing in the greatest Russian yeshiva, and right? But he turns to this yid, whose job it is to tighten the few loose screws in the shtenders, and he says, what a schus we've had. Rav Moshe, he says, what a schus we've had. For the last 30 years, he says, look how we built this yeshiva together. And he says, and now I hope we'll continue to build it together. And he's looking at this yid, he's dripping. He's schwitzing from schlepping, from doing. Right? And the Panovich Rav is mechabed him to say, what do you mean? We built this yeshiva together. So he could have said back to the Panovich Rav, no, you built the yeshiva and I fixed shtenders. But he said, what is chus we have? We built this yeshiva together. We had the vision to build this yeshiva together. And we should continue to do so for many years to come. And he's mechazik him. And I think it's mamish this inyan that we've been learning. He said, let's keep building. Let's keep building. Each person doing whatever they can. Panovich Rav will do his thing. And Rav Moshe Vatrik will fix the shenders, and some will learn Mishnayos, some will learn Gemara, and some will learn Halacha, and some will learn Machshava, and some will learn Chassidus, and some will learn Tanakh, and some will be excellent in this mitzvah, and some people will be excellent in that mitzvah, and we'll all try to improve whatever we can, we'll do whatever we can. But we'll do it with honesty and simplicity, and purity and holiness, v'holich b'tom yelech betach. And a yid who just keeps marching along, whether you're a Panovich Rav, or you're a schlepper who fixes the shenders, each person lefi madrigaso. He's able to serve a Kaddish Baruch. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochet to serve a Kaddish Baruch to the best of our ability. Okay.